You're listening to the Driving Confidence Podcast for drivers who want to be calm and confident on the road. We will be sharing tips, stories, and advice to beat driving nerves and anxiety and build your driving confidence. Whether you are just starting out as a learner or have had your driving license for years, if you want to transform how you feel about driving, this podcast is for you. So on this last episode of season 9 of the Driving Confidence Podcast, we're delighted to invite on Kev Lines and his student Lydia to come and join us and talk a little bit about their stories. And the motivation behind this is that it can be really hard sometimes to find a driving instructor with the experience that you need as a student. So whether you need somebody with experience of anxiety, neurodiversity, or perhaps you've got some other particular needs when you're learning to drive. And there are lots of different varieties of driving instructor out there. So you need to shop around and find out who does what their experience is, and find the best match for you.
Yeah, it's finding one that suits you, isn't it? So that you can learn best. I think that's what we're here for.
Definitely.
So thank you very much for joining us, Kev and Lydia.
Thank you for having us.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I've been in driver training for a long time. I mean, my first driver training job was probably 20 years ago. But my background was buses, public transport. And it took me a long time to get into training new drivers. So I didn't really know what to expect, but it felt like a natural progression for me to move on to that. But it didn't take long for me to realise that there was something more I wanted to do. And I wasn't sure what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it until Lydia came along. And yes, she was the inspiration for me going down the path of being able to provide lessons for people who perhaps are nervous, lack of confidence, and even lots of neurodiverse conditions that people have to deal with in their lives on a daily basis. And driving is one of those things in life. It's kind of a big milestone in your life, so people put a lot of weight on it, and it's scary as well. So you know, you got the run-of-the-mill neurotypical people that just take it in their stride, get in the car with anyone, and sort of most things is water off a duck's back. But for a lot of people, just picking up the phone or sending a message to a driving instructor is a massive feat in itself. So not knowing where to start, and that was kind of where Lydia comes into it, is we were thrown together purely by chance, and it started a journey that obviously has been very positive for Lydia, but also I've learned just as much as she has. And that kind of, that was, I mean, what was it, Lydia, about a year ago? You've been driving a year ago?
Yeah, I passed my test in July, and I swear I was learning to drive for some time. Like, it wasn't a quick feat, that's for sure. So it's been quite a while.
But with a big smile on your face like that, it sounds and looks like you had a fantastic time while you was learning to drive.
I had a really good time, yeah. Well, this is the thing, like, what Kev's saying is that we genuinely got so much out of it, because I said to him that I, just having like that space in the car, and I can't even describe it, like, it taught me so much about, not just about learning to drive and stuff like that, but about, like we were saying before, that you can just, like, even if it's harder for you to learn to drive and it takes a bit longer, it doesn't mean you can't learn to drive. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong, or it doesn't mean you're being slow. It just means that, like, maybe you need a different method, or maybe you just need a different, like, teaching style. And I feel like that's what I found, like, being in the car with Kevin, is that it wasn't a mere issue. It was just something a little different. And I don't know if it made you realise, Kevin, but that you can provide something different that people wouldn't get from somewhere else and that isn't necessarily available. So I feel like we both had that realization at the same time, which is why it really helped, like we kind of helped each other a lot with that.
Yeah, because I didn't feel like, I mean, I taught 17-year-olds and it, you know, the same old thing that we hear about how much it cost, how long is it going to take, you know, can I pass my test in a month? And you get that sort of person. And if that's what they need and want, I'm sure there's people out there that can provide it. But for me, it was like I wanted to do more. I felt it wasn't just about drop passing a test. It was about somebody embarking on a journey that was scary and daunting for them. And I wanted to be able to bring them into that world and sort of, it's not, it doesn't have to be scary. Like Lydia said, it can actually be fun. And it's, you know, it's not prescriptive. You don't have to learn a certain way. You don't have to do it a certain way. You don't have to do certain things in a certain order. A lot of it is geared just around the learner and how they learn. And a lot of it doesn't have to be technical either. What I found through that journey was you don't have to be an expert in neurodiverse conditions. You don't have to be an expert in all things psychological and things like that. But I felt like I needed to know more than I did. And I don't know if you've heard of it. There's a course, Drive Calm, I think it's called. Yeah, there's this couple that do like a Drive Calm course. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of it. But it was very good.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah, so that was my motivation. It was meeting Lydia, finding out about Lydia and what her journey's been, and feeling like, yeah, I think I could help this person. And it kind of opened up a few doors, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. And that's what kind of led me to you guys. And then kind of everything else has happened in the meantime. So, yeah.
Lovely. And see, it's very rare that we get to find out the history behind people that we work with. So it's lovely to actually see that Lydia, it's sort of like you becoming a student of Kev's that then has brought Kev onto our training course. So I was going to say, Lydia, tell us a little bit about. So obviously we know that you've passed your test. You started with the success bit, so there's no spoilers. It's we know that you've passed your driving test already. But can you cast your mind back a bit to those early days of being a learner, and what were some of the things that you found more challenging?
I feel like we were literally just talking about this the other day about like more specific things. But I've kind of like deducted that there weren't specific things. It was more just a general lack of confidence that was the biggest issue. And yeah, and obviously that affects everything, doesn't it? So yeah, underconfident. I feel like everything was a bit of an issue, even like starting out in the early days, like just turning a corner was like nerve-wracking, or going above like 15 mile an hour was nerve-wracking. So I think that was the biggest obstacle, was just the general confidence issue, which I think is the same for a lot of people. And that's the whole point of like why people prolong it and stuff like that, because just, and what Kevin was saying earlier about how even just picking up the phone is like really difficult for some people because it's just a lack of confidence.
And what's great is hearing you say that, but actually seeing you say it with a smile on your face, knowing that you've passed your driving test. And so, how do you feel about driving now?
Well, I do feel really good about driving, but Kevin took me out in his car the other day. And it was like the worst drive I've ever done in my life. So like you're probably sat there thinking, like, I don't know, that
Let's
maybe it wasn't very good.
put it into context. Like
Oh, okay, so it was a
Lydia
pickup.
learned in a manual petrol car, and now I do automatic electric car lessons. So it's a complete change of vehicle. So,
Yeah,
completely
but
different.
in like my perfect pristine, like usual environment, I'd say that I'm pretty confident now. Obviously, like I was saying the other day, that I've not gone on the motorway. However, I have conquered the A1, which I didn't think I would do, and the slip roads. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. A bit more confident these days. But it definitely, like, every now and then I'll just like think to myself when I'm doing something, I'm like, yeah, I passed my driver's test. Because it's just like, I feel like it's just such a big thing. And like back in the day, it used to be such a big thing that I was like so scared about. And now every now and then I just need to like remind myself that like I've ticked that one off. It's done.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's nice when you can actually say it's authentic. What you're saying is authentic to you, and what you've got out of the lessons that you've had is brilliant, because you've obviously been taught in a way that suits you and a way that made you feel that you could potentially not be confident but still learn.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's it. It's like you don't actually need to be confident. You just need to be open to learning. Like, obviously, you're going to make mistakes. Obviously, you're going to stall every now and then, or you're going to panic, but that's fine. Like, you don't have to be confident from the get-go. Like, you learn from every mistake you make, probably more so than you would learn from something just being successful straight off the bat. So, like, it's just taking a different approach and like allowing yourself to be a bit underconfident and just still have a little bit of faith in yourself.
So I'm going to sort of like turn the tables a little bit, if that's okay. But Lydia, what do you think Kev learnt from teaching you to drive then?
Good, I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. I feel like I don't know if it's something that like you I thought you already like I didn't realize I was the first person that kind of like sparked this train of thought and this direction, because when I was with you, you seemed very like confident with it. And but it's just small things like pulling over for a coffee and stuff like that, like when things are getting stressful. I don't know if you did that anyway, or you realized how much of an impact it made. Even just the option, I remember when it was like later in the day, and we had when we had the lessons, and I was so tired and so drained, and like there were 2 hour blocks, and just you giving the option of like changing the lessons. Because I remember you just asking me like, would it be better if we did it at a different time of day or something like that, or a shorter lesson, and just like changing bits like that made a huge impact. But I don't know if that like if that helped you kind of understand how much of an impact this makes and like how much it means to the students when you do this, like when you just do little alter and you just like notice things, and when you pick up on like the mood change and stuff like that. Like, I hope anyway that like I helped you see that that was massive and that it made a really big impact. But yeah, and also like as I was saying earlier about how that's not a normal thing for like a driving instructor to do. So I think it's really nice that you've like taken this on to go towards like more neurodiverse students, because it's almost like it's so special and it's so rare to find that, that it's nice to be like putting it all on people who desperately need it rather than like every now and then like wasting it a bit. I don't want that might sound a bit rude, but like wasting it on people who don't need it. Do you know what I mean?
How nice is that? Have you noticed the picture in Kev now? The head's got slightly bigger and bigger.
No, we said this. Like, he warned me that this would happen. We're aware that we're gonna.
That's so nice, though, to be the sense I got from that, and I suppose people that are going to be listening to this, is it wasn't about Kev at all. It was all about you and your needs and what you wanted
Like
and
it,
how.
yeah.
It's great, isn't it? I love that.
Yeah, and that is, I would imagine, what Kev was learning as he was going through the lessons. So let's move that
Yeah, we
too,
have to
you
swap it
know,
round.
let's swap it around. So what would you say that you learned from your lessons with Lydia?
That stopping and having coffee is a benefit, not a disadvantage. We'd bring our own. We'd come prepared.
It would be cold coffee, yeah, like lukewarm coffee at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it was. I'd got these ideas, and long before I'd heard the term be a detective, that's kind of what I was doing. You pick up on things. So, you can tell, like, I could tell if Lydia was feeling particularly stressed about a certain situation, and it was right, what can I do to make this easier? And sometimes it was. Move from somewhere busy to somewhere quieter. It could have been, let's pull up and just have a breather and a chat. And it was just picking up on signals at first. But then when you experience that and you see the impact that that small choice that I've made, because the thing I realize about learners now is they won't ask, they won't say, oh, can we pull over? I had a young lady the other day who was really like she was getting more and more stressed out, and I just pulled over and she said, "I'm really thirsty." And one of the things I do is I carry bottles of water in the boot. And I said to her, hold on a minute." And I got out and I got her a bottle of water. And she drank it with such ferocity. She was that thirsty. She was just clamming up. And I even felt bad about not noticing that a little bit earlier. But the fact I picked up on it, I had a solution to a problem and it solved it. But I might not have not going down this journey and picking these things up. I might have just carried on and just, you're going to get your money's worth out of the lesson. So we're going to just keep driving. You're going to keep doing what we're doing. Whereas sometimes just stopping for a minute. And a DVSA examiner said to me once, they learn when you're parked at the side of the road, because there's no point trying to get somebody to do something if they're concentrating so much on what's going on in front and behind them that their ears just don't work and it will go in as words and come out as mush. So just those moments when you can pull over and have a breather, it worked. So for as far as I'm concerned, if it works, don't break it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many driving instructors who have heard other messages, which is about keeping the wheels turning. They're not learning if the wheels aren't turning. And that isn't the way it works for a lot of people. Quite rightly, the message that you heard from somebody was if a student is driving and this is a new skill that they're learning, it hasn't become automatic, they haven't mastered it yet, then that means that all of their attention and focus is going to be on what's in front and what they've got to do next. So you haven't got time to think about other things and process other things while trying out a new skill. So it is all about that at the side of the road. And I'm thinking about that young lady you were just talking there who was thirsty. All she'll have been thinking about is how thirsty she is, how uncomfortable she is. Having a dry mouth will be sending signals to her brain, telling her mouth's dry, must be feeling stressed, must be feeling nervous. The stress signal will be going up. All the focus and attention will be on the discomfort and the stress signal, won't be on the driving. And by, you've resolved that just with a little stop, some water, reset, off we go again. Not
And it's it to me, it seems so simple, doesn't it? Like stop for a coffee, let's just have a drink, let's have a pause, let's do this. To me, that just seems so simple. And the benefits that Lydia's obviously got from that were massive. And you can even tell that by the way she was explaining what was happening, which is great. Oh, there you go.
The one thing that always sticks with me is when Lydia would get in the car and she'd come across as quite tired. Still, she had the energy. I mean, she always got in the car with a smile on her face and wanting to learn to drive. But there were the moments when in conversation, I'd pick up on maybe she's a bit drained today. So it would just be adapting the lesson to do something that would be less taxing, something a little bit more suitable for her at that time.
Not the roundabouts.
So let's get away from the roundabouts and the dual carriageways and the slip roads, and let's look at residential or maneuvers, where it's all slow and you can take your time and you don't have to make lots of decisions very quickly.
Yeah, because I swear we had like there was a solid like few weeks in a row that we just did like because the mood just wasn't there, like the attention wasn't there. We just did like residential stuff and kind of went back over stuff and cemented that in. And then I remember there was one week where you were like, look, you just need to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And then we did the roundabouts like then. But it did like we just took some time out and which and you're not wasting lessons because you're still getting used to the car, you're still like cementing in stuff that you already know. And I felt that worked really well.
And I wish at the time I'd have had the confident wheel and the fault logs and the what's the zones one?
Learning zone.
Learning
Learning
zones.
zones. Because I think Lydia would have really benefited from those tools in the car. And that's if I had to say what's my one negative experience of that, it would be that I didn't have those tools at the time, because I think that they would have really benefited Lydia and that would have worked.
How did you feel when you passed?
A little bit confused as to why I felt a bit surprised. So I felt like I just fluked it, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, good. I kind of stuck to the same routes after that. I just did like the same route backwards and forwards, like, and I didn't go any further. I felt good. It was weird. But I kind of felt like for a while before the test, I was thinking like, I just want to nip to the shop. Do you know what I mean? Like, why do I have to have someone next to me? Can I just go down to like to the next village? So it's nice. Felt ready for it. But yeah, definitely wasn't expecting
I felt
it.
ready for it.
Yeah, and also
Yeah.
that, oh, I just want to nip to the shops. Why do I need
Yeah.
somebody next to me? Now that is a fabulous sign that you're ready to go and pass your driving
Yeah.
test, isn't it? When you've got that feeling that, oh, I could
When
just
you're
nip down, I could
thinking
do
about, yeah,
that.
breaking the law, that's when you know you're ready.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Rephrase
We,
that.
yeah, we don't want people to
Rephrase
do it, but the,
it.
just that feeling that, oh, if I was allowed to, I could do that. And that
Yeah.
just shows that actually you trusted in your driving ability to be able to do that trip once you pass your driving test, because you felt that sort
Yeah.
of like that you wanted to do it and you were ready to do it. And how have you built your confidence up since? Have you been increasing your routes, Lydia? Have you been doing more, gradually pushing out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, I'd say I like to do something a little different. Like I was saying, I kind of was doing the same routes over and over, and I was just getting a bit, because I like driving in terms of I find it really stimulating. So that's why I wanted to do like the manual, because I just like to do more. Do you know what I mean? Like I just like to do a lot. So I found, yeah. So I just did lots of, I'd go a different route home, or I'd do something that had like a roundabout, or I'd go, when I did go on the A1 the first time, you'll probably hear me mention the A1 a million times because I'm just so pleased that I can get on it. When I did the first time, I think it was a bit too soon. And that kind of knackered me out a bit. So then I left it for a bit and then I did it after. But I found, yeah, I just feel like it just happened so gradually, like getting more confident over time. And like this time, like I'll put the music on. Do you know what I mean? Or I'll put my own music on and not listen to the radio. And it was just like small things like that to just like step up like every few times.
Yeah, great. And is that just that taking your time with it? There is no rush. Is that just gradually doing it? And like you say, you maybe did the A1 a little bit too early to start off with, and then you left it a bit, did some other things, and then came back to it. And it's just a perfect example, isn't it, of how you build up gradually over time at a pace that suits you.
Also, watching other people then drive after was really good to just like things that I'd like queried, or I'd be a bit like, oh, I wonder how I do that. Then you're more aware of what other people do when they drive a car and you're in the passenger seat. So I found a lot of like my queries were kind of answered by then. And I was saying to Kevin the other day that even just like waiting at a junction and waiting for a space, like I'm sitting there like sweating, thinking it's been like a solid like 3 full minutes. I should have left by now. But then when I sit next to someone now in the passenger seat, I see that people will wait like 5 minutes. Like you're waiting for a gap. There's no timer on or anything like that. You literally just need to find a gap, and it's people wait for as long as they need to because the gap needs to be there. But it's just stuff like that when that kind of like built my confidence up a lot. But again, it's something I feel like you just don't really notice it until you need to notice it, if you get what I mean.
What I've heard from what you were saying there is post-test was exactly the same as what you did pre-test. Where, if something was, do you know what? I'm just going to hold back. So if it came to the lesson a little bit, do you know what? I'll just hold back and then go for it again another day. And that's exactly what you've been doing post-test as well. So there is so much to be learned from lessons that you're probably unconscious of, that you've taken forward into your post test as well, which is brilliant, isn't it?
And that's the idea, isn't it? That you're learning your strategies in your lessons that are going to help you when you're on your own. That's,
What it's all about,
that's
isn't
what
it?
it's all about.
Yeah, that's why I sing Kevin's praises literally all the time, and I'm like not shy about it because, but
Terrific.
even just the simple way of if you're feeling like a bit tired and you're feeling a bit sluggish, take the easy way home, even if it's a bit longer. Just stuff like small things like that that really help to just, yeah, to just cater it to what you need at the time, and that's fine. And again, learning all the time.
So, Ev, how do you feel, you as an instructor now? I say as a instructor, you're not just a instructor, but how do you,
The instructor.
how do you feel now sitting here and someone saying all this, knowing that you've been through the journey and they've continued the journey on their own, but you're still part of that journey? How does that feel for you?
I mean, it's humbling. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying very hard not to blush at the moment. But the one thing I will say, just going back to when Lydia mentioned the A1, it's, and she's not done motorway, the section of A1 that she's been driving on is, you can separate a motorway and that section of the A1 with a cat whisker. They're very similar. Fast road, fast moving, slip roads. It's, the only difference is they've got green signs rather than blue. So I think Lydia, if she's can smash that part of the A1, she'd be able to, I would say, smash most parts of the motorway network. I
Maybe not the best term.
say most
Yeah, I
because
was thinking that. Not literally,
not
Lydia.
smash it up. Yeah.
Please, please don't do that.
But thank you. I appreciate that vote of confidence.
Yeah, so going back to your original, like, I always strive to do the best I can. And I know that I'm not perfect, and that I have days where at the end of a lesson I think, well, I could have done much better there with that person. But I don't beat myself up about it because I'm a human just like we all are. And, Lydia has her good and bad days. I have my good and bad days, but I always try and bring my A game to lessons. And when it does go well, and when I feel like we've both really got something out of it, that's the satisfying part of the job. And to know that there are people that go on after test and they're still applying the stuff that they've not necessarily learned, because I don't consider myself a teacher in the industry. You hear the phrase facilitator, because a lot of what Lydia's done has come from her. I've just facilitated that to happen. So it doesn't surprise me, from Lydia's point of view, is she's going out and applying all this stuff post test, because what she was doing before test, it was all very like reassuring stuff. I never felt with her that I'm a bit worried about this and I'm a bit worried about how she'd cope with this, because I knew that even if she'd come up against something that was perhaps different or a little bit more challenging than something she's come up before, I always felt that she would be able to figure it out and she'd be able to work out what she needed to do. But not only that, is try and keep calm throughout of all it. It's different, it's unusual, it's scary, but look at all these skills I've got to be able to deal with it. And it certainly sounds like that's what she's been doing.
Is there anything for either of you that we haven't talked about that you wanted to share on this episode? Is there anything that you wanted to cover that we haven't?
Now, for me, it's just mainly the main thing that I wanted to put out there was that when you've got people that want to learn to drive and just think it's too scary to do it, that it's not as scary as you might think it is. I'm not saying it's not scary, but what I'm saying is it's not as scary as you think it might be. And if you can find the right person, and don't be afraid to do your homework, do your research, find somebody you think. And even if you find that person and within the first couple of lessons you don't feel comfortable and it doesn't feel right, don't feel afraid to say thanks very much, but it's not for me, and find someone else. Because I've had people come to me that have said they've tried other people and not got on. And I said, that's not necessarily because they're bad instructors. It's not because they don't know what they're doing. It's just sometimes one person doesn't gel with another person, and it's neither of their fault. It's just that that doesn't work. And admitting that early and saying, look, I just don't feel comfortable with it, and finding somebody that you do, it's like, don't just keep throwing money at driving if you don't feel comfortable, because you've got to feel comfortable. Like Lydia said, she enjoyed her lessons, and that's what it should be about. It shouldn't be something that scares the living daylights out of you on a weekly basis you should be able to come into lessons with a bit of fear, because let's face it, we're not going to completely eliminate that. You are going to come into it feeling a little bit overwhelmed with a bit of lack of confidence. But if you can find that person that can just crack through that wall and help you on that journey, and that's certainly where what I got from Lydia is I felt like I'd not cracked it, I'd like kicked my foot and booted the door in, if we're going to look at analogies. And it was, for me, it was an eye-opener. It was like, this feels good. This feels good that somebody is getting this out of it that perhaps may not have done otherwise. And I've gone on to since Lydia and helped other people in very similar situations. And they're the ones that I enjoy the most. They're the ones that makes the job satisfying, is that you're able to help somebody that found it hard to get onto that journey in the first place through whatever it is, fear, lack of confidence, anxiety, worry. That's going to be hard. So if it's going to be hard, I'm not going to do it. And that's all. I want people to know that there are people out there that won't shout at them, won't tut every time they do something wrong. And when things do go wrong, it's finding a solution to the problem rather than make it a problem. Nothing's not able to be overcome.
Love that.
Love that.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And Lydia, have you got any words of wisdom out there for anybody who's a learner or maybe a full license holder who's feeling nervous or anxious about driving or learning to drive?
I feel like it's just nice to like for people to know that it's very normal to be super anxious and like super nervous about, like we said earlier, just picking up the phone and stuff like that. That's so normal. But you just need to remember that your lessons, like learning to drive, is about you. It's not about you being there to like impress a driving instructor or to pass your test. It's about like you need to find the right person, as Kevin's saying, for you. So it's almost like you're auditioning the driving instructors when you're going in, and you shouldn't be ashamed, like you said, to then say, actually, this isn't right for me. And I know it's hard these days because it's hard to get a driving instructor these days. They're like few and far between. So you kind of feel like, oh my God, this is the one that I've got, so I have to stick with it. Well, no, really, because it, like, in the end of the day, you're investing in your future. You're going to be such a more confident person. And if you take, like, I don't know, 80 hours with someone who doesn't work for you, like, that's just so not worth it. It's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of, like probably criticism in your own head for not doing it properly, whereas you could just hang on, like wait to find someone for you, and that's totally fine. Like take the pressure away from just like learning. It's not about passing your test, it's about learning to drive. So it's just to like enjoy the journey, because I feel like everyone is so focused on like, oh, how many hours did it take you to learn to drive, and like everyone's like, oh my God, I only did it in like 10 hours. But everyone's so focused on that, but that's so superficial. It's just not about that. It's about the drive that you become at the end of it. And I think that if people just see it as more of a journey rather than as like a goal, as like just an achievement to tick off, it takes a lot of the pressure out of it. And it kind of means you can start tiny, and you don't have, it's not like when you go and learn to drive and you book that first lesson, like that's it. You need to start learning to pass your test. It's like, that is like step one. That's like a little baby step, and then you can move on, and then you can go up. And it's more of like a gradual slope. And then if one day your driving instructor turns around and says, I think you might be ready for your test, like that's just a nice surprise at the end of the day. But I think if you're, I know it's difficult because they are also expensive and stuff like that. And but I just think if you are underconfident, it's so worth the investment to, one, like shop around for someone that works, and two, to just take your time. Like it will cost a bit more, and that's just like a cross you're gonna have to bear, unfortunately. Like I know that sounds really bad, but it's worth the investment. And even if you space the lessons out and you just do it over a longer time, but maybe like just an hour or something like that instead, it's just worth it. Like time doesn't really mean anything when it's learning to drive. It's different for everyone.
That's so nice,
Yeah.
isn't it? That is.
I
I wish
have no idea what I
everybody
just
could.
said.
You can
listen
listen to it back in a couple of weeks.
And you'll go, "Is that me talking? Is that, did
Yeah.
I say all that?" It was like it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I just wish And I'm hoping, I mean, this is why we do the podcast, because it gets to so many people that we don't know about. And I think if people could just listen to what you've just said, however long this podcast is, but even just this last 5, 10 minutes you've been talking, I just think that's gold. It's gold dust that you've just mentioned there. It is absolutely brilliant. And it's beautiful to hear and see you say it with a smile on your face. And yeah, it's great. It was really good. I can't say anything more than that. So that's me finished now. You've outdone me. I can't say any more.
What I was just thinking is we must remember, Kev, how can people find you if they want to? Because obviously you don't cover the whole of the UK, but if people want to get in touch with you, where are you? How do they find you?
Everybody needs a Kev, by the way. I just thought I'd mention
Yeah. I say this all the time to people. I'm literally
that.
like, I don't know how lucky. I think I even wrote it in the review on your Facebook page. I was like, everyone needs a Kevin. Like, I just can't even describe it. Blessed that I got one by accident. So thank you. I literally said that to everyone. Like, one day you'll find a Kevin.
It's
I've got two on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Well,
like a
sure.
London bus, isn't it? Like you wait for one,
Yeah.
then the two come along.
Yeah. That's like, they're all here, guys. Sorry.
But where can people find me? I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really do a lot on TikTok. I don't think that's kind of my jam. Although people say to me, you got to do videos because that's what the younger generation want these days. But yeah, at Drive Links, so that's DriveLinks, because I'm in Lincolnshire, based in Lincoln in Lincolnshire. I've also got a website, drivelinks.uk. That's got lots of information about the confident driving, anxiety and stress and all that stuff. All that goodness is in there as well. So yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Sorry, that was a button in. Can you say the thing about, yesterday when you were talking and you said that there was that person who called you up and you could tell they were really nervous and they were like stuttering, and then on the phone, on the other side of the phone, you were thinking, keep talking because this is the kind of thing that I want. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember if you remember saying
Yeah,
it
so I'd
to
had a phone call from someone and they were so nervous, even just ringing up, that I could barely kind of understand what they were saying because they were stuttering and falling over their words and apologizing. And I just said, no, just carry on. And just because they're the sort of people I want to engage with. You get people ring up, and a lot of the time you get, how much are your lessons? Like, we all get that. And that's just the nature of the job. But I want to be able to let them be themselves first. So the ones that ring up and they say, hello, is that Kevin? Or hello, is that Drive Links? And I'm like, that's me. And then there's a silence. It's anything I can do to help. And they'll start to talk and it will be mumbling and falling over their words. And they're like, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, no, just take your time. Because in my head, I'm like, this is the person I want to talk to. Yeah, and I want to give them the time just to say what they've got to say. And yeah, so I kind of know. I mean, I don't take calls very often. Obviously, we're driving instructors, so we spend most of our time in the car. I do prefer a message or an email or an inquiry through the website. But when I do call and talk to people on the rare occasions when I actually am there to answer the phone, I know. As soon as somebody's on there and they sound really nervous and they're stumbling over their words, I just say, take your time and just sit there and listen. Listen to what they've got to say or what they want to know. And even, like I said to Lydia, I'm just sitting there going, I'm happy to sit here listening to it. That's the sort of person I want to work with,
So sweet. Like, I just think that was so nice. Like, that straight off the bat, and they're probably like so embarrassed and stuff like that, but straight off the bat, you're thinking, absolutely, like, this is exactly the kind of person that you want
Yeah.
to work with. That's nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah, that's
And there's
amazing.
not many people like that.
No.
That's one of the it's genuine people that we know. You see, we're bigging him up now as well. But he is very genuine in what he does, and he just wants to help people. There you go.
There you go, some
Lovely
free
soul.
advertisement.
We'll keep
Yeah.
that bit in as
Busy.
well.
Yeah.
We'll keep that bit.
So I think that probably just about brings us to a close. So, guys, thank you so much for your time this evening to record this episode. I'm sure that it will be really helpful for other people listening out there to have that motivation to either get started or to find the right person for them.
Find a Kev.
Find a Kev.
Find a care, but yeah, everyone needs a care. That's what we've learned from today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much.
So that brings us to the end of season 9. We know that this season has been a little bit different, but we hope that you've enjoyed it. And while we take a season break, we'll be publishing some shorts from old podcast episodes. So we're leaving you with some hints and tips to keep going with. And so until next time, have a great day, whatever you're doing. I'm just going to jump in here to let you know about our Drive Calm journal. We've created a 12-week prompt journal to support our listeners to take action and improve driving confidence. The journal includes questions, prompts, and exercises to create an action plan and an opportunity for reflection afterwards. Search Drive Calm on Amazon to take a look. We hope it helps. Thank you for listening. Find out about the different ways that you can work with us on our website, www.confidentdrivers.co.uk, and begin to transform the way you feel about driving.